Saddle up your horses.
Welcome to Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter. This is the program that proclaims liberty to the captives of our beloved nation, where truth trumps political correctness, where the uncompromised Word of God exposes the works of darkness and sets free those held hostage behind the iron curtain of a shamelessly biased media. For God has called us to stand for truth, and having done all to stand, we will stand. It's time to fight the good fight of faith to preserve our country, our families, fortunes, and sacred honor, to protect our property, our schools, and yes, maybe even salvage some of our churches. America, we have a trail to blaze. It's time to saddle up. It's time to ride. Now, here is your host of Red Sky Radio, Rob Walter.
Well, hello, America, and welcome to the Robin Walter Show, part of Red Sky Radio. Gosh, we got so much, as always, to cover today. We start with the good news. We end with the good news, at least try to end with good news. In between, it's a, well, it's like a ride on the wild mouse, I guess. I don't know how many of you know that ride. I don't even know if that ride still exists. I used to spend summers with my aunt and uncle who had no kids, and I'm from a family of nine. My parents had excess. They had none. So they dumped some of us off for a few weeks in this town where my uncle was the local meat wagon driver, meaning he had ran the ambulance and he was an undertaker. And so we would get called into the Ionia Free Fair in Ionia, Michigan. And I remember the time going in there. And there it lay. As we got in there, our car went flying off the rails of the wild mouse. And that thing about give you a whiplash, even as a 10-year-old, you get injured on this thing. I don't think it's still out there. But that's sort of what this is like. This is the wild mouse. I don't want to throw you off the track, and I don't want to give you whiplash. But if it gets a little scary in the middle, well, I guess that's just the way it is. Well, as this country goes headlong toward, as I've said, secession, where states will be leaving, and the left is not only doubling down, they're tripling down in an effort apparently to stop the hemorrhage of support, and yet the more they do that, the more the support leaks. Gosh, you know, I mean, I could do 10 hours a week on how bad this administration is, but we're not going to do that. But the good news today, I got a couple of items, a little bit of an odd one. It's de facto secession coming out of the state of Pennsylvania, and it's a school board. Of course, you know about all the school boards, the National School Board Association, which wants to bring in the Department of Injustice to pursue actions about people who are upset because their local school board is getting really stinky about all the queer crap, the critical race theory, the vaccination, so-called, you name it. They're upset. But apparently, getting upset at your school board is not a First Amendment right anymore. Got to bring in the Department of Injustice because these little policy wonks on the school boards who are just reflections of most of, well, pretty much of all the teacher unions, which are to the left of Castro. And they apparently think that free speech is only for the left. Well, they do think that. And somehow they feel threatened when somebody with a brain, with a conscience, with some morals, opposes these school boards. Oh, we're being threatened. I don't feel safe. The typical old Democratic crapola, I don't feel safe. You know what? You don't deserve to feel safe. But these are the people who have Hollywood behind them. They got big media, big tech, big pharma, big government, all the unions. So they just walk around in la-la land nirvana. And then when they actually run into people who don't like what they're doing, they think they're being attacked. Well, welcome to the First Amendment, you pack of losers. But the Pennsylvania School Board has voted to break ties with the National Association of School Boards, which are trying to identify anti-CRT parents as domestic terrorists. Okay, let me understand this. You're a domestic terrorist if you oppose a racist theory in schools. Isn't that what segregation was about? I mean, that was racist, right? I mean, go back enough years and you're going to run into racism. There isn't any question about that. But if you oppose a racist white school board, you were a domestic terrorist? No, only if you oppose these little whack jobs that call themselves school boards. But Pennsylvania broke. See, this is what I like about the left pushing too hard. Satan, who knows his time is short, he acts feverishly and furiously. And he's just driving people to the rage that will be called the Second American Revolution. Mark my words, next week's program is going to cover that. This week I got to cover some things that I promised last week. Like with Amazon. I mean, okay, we're going to get to that. Anyway, this is great news. So if Pennsylvania breaks, maybe others will break. I would hope so. There are two correct things about CRT. Number one, it is critical. It's critical that people are teaching it. And number two, it is a theory because it's not fact. But the R stands for race, but it actually stands for racist. So one out of the three is almost correct. But they're going to stick the Department of Injustice on people who are passionate about their children's education. Parents who are paying the freight of these lousy school boards and these sucky teacher unions. They're the ones that didn't do jack and sat on their derriere and demanded to collect pay until everybody was vaccinated and there was world peace established, like they said in L.A. Well, go get them, Pennsylvania. I'll tell you, this is just, I was talking to a pastor today, and he said, you know, this time, we are at such a critical juncture in this country. We've never been here before, and I totally agreed. I mean, we're two peas in a pod on this. Because I have a message I'm going to take on the road. It's going to start next week, called "The Bible From the Bible to Braveheart." You don't want to miss that. I'm going to take that message on the road. Because I preached it last Sunday in Skull Valley, Arizona. Sorry. Didn't mean to slander you, Arizona. And I gotta get out there with it. And I'm starting tomorrow. And people have got to understand just how serious this is. And what I was sharing with this pastor is that there are going to be, I think, an enormous number of surprises as this plays out. The secession. And here's what's going to happen. There's going to be a bunch of people who you would think would be on the side of leaving, but they'll just kind of weasel and weenie out. They'll go cold, they'll go chicken, spineless, gutless. They will not have the constitutional muster to see it through. And there will be others who you would never think would support it, who will support it. Kind of reminds me of the Bible passage that says the first shall be last and the last shall be first. I can't get into preaching that, but only to say that there are a lot of surprises in heaven. There'll be surprises with this too. And what is going to be difficult for Christians to swallow is that some of the people who want to do this will be opportunistic. They'll be rogues. It's sort of like David. When David is on the run from Saul, he's running for his life. Saul's out to kill him. David exercises great restraint, but he amasses a group of guys around him, a critical mass, I might say. This is called critical mass theory. I just wanted to let you know. A critical mass, that minimum number of men necessary to pose a defensive threat to Saul in this particular case, who didn't share David's beliefs. David's parents came to his side, siblings came over, his relatives. certain priest. I think a priest, Zadok, and Benaiah, I think was another one in there. I can't remember all the names, but he had some. But Scripture makes it clear that a good number of the people that joined with him were the disaffected, the malcontents, the people that were up to their eyeballs in debt, looking to go loot something to be able to pay off their debt or what have you. He had a lot of losers. He had a few winners, but he had some losers. Those losers formed part of the critical mass necessary for David to do what he needed to do while he was on the run from Saul. It'll be the same with this. There will be people who are opportunistic. They'll get in the way. There'll be those who have some, let's say, unmerited purpose behind joining in it. But all that matters is that there is a critical core. Critical core theory, but this is critical core fact. You have to have a certain nucleus of people who have skin in the game and a heart in the purpose. Zeal in the design for which nothing is a substitute for victory. And it will happen. And why? Well, because we have more people trying to blame unvaccinated people for everything that's wrong. So the U.S. Treasury Deputy Secretary. So this is a guy underneath the head cheese of the Treasury Department. In this case, the guy's name is Wally Adeyemo. Easy for me to say, huh? Wally Adeyemo. And he's come out and he's basically put Americans on notice that the only way to end the plague, as this writer calls it, the plague of empty shelves, is for everybody to take the jab. That's right. Because he's getting, you know, okay, so we got Let's Go Brandon here, which I get that. I was a little slow to the uptake on that one, but I got it. But now everybody's mocking Biden and calling him Empty Shelves Joe. And I'm going to cover in a minute why the empty shelves are a good thing. You know, a lot of people think, even my wife says, why are you always bringing bad news? I said, well, no, I don't. I try to start with good news, end with good news. In between, it's rocky. I understand that. But I look for silver linings even in the bad news. And there is one here, I think. But let's get back to Mr. Wally Adeyemo. So he is second in command of the Treasury Department. And he, as many people said, he appears to be blackmailing this huge contingent of Americans who still have not suckered for the jab. So he was on a Thursday, last Thursday, ABC interview. And he just sort of implies that somehow the unvaccinated people are the people who are responsible for the empty shelves. Right? The unvaxxed are responsible for everything. We're the pariahs. We're the marginalized, the ostracized, the persecuted, the promises to punish, and in many left-wing circles, an interest in just simply having us killed. Well, if they were so big on vaccination as being the cure-all, be-all, end-all, which we know is not the case, why would they want us to get vaccinated? Wouldn't they want us to catch the disease and die? Two things. First of all, it's not just the vaccinated, the unvaccinated that catch COVID. Everybody vaccinated, or a lot of people anyway, they're taking the jab or getting it. And what else? Well, they know, they desperately know that 98% of the people or 99% of the people that catch COVID survive and emerge with natural immunity, stronger than that stupid vaccine alleged fake immunity. Because there isn't immunity. You can catch it. You can transmit it. You can get hospitalized, you can die for it, and people are dying and being hospitalized in great numbers as a result of the so-called vaccination. They know it doesn't work. They just want a scapegoat for their own stupidity. They want a scapegoat for everything else that's going wrong. So the unvaccinated are the new climate change deniers in the eyes of the left. That's what we are. Got riot in Las Vegas? No, that says unvaccinated we're doing it. Ships stacking up by the tens of hundreds off from the coast of Los Angeles? Oh, that's the cause of the unvaccinated. They're the cause of that. And right on down the line. So this Adeyemo claims that the supply chain issues plaguing the U.S. retailers are really an international issue, but it's only going to let up when a sufficient percentage of the country has been vaccinated. Why? You see, this is what the devil intends for evil that God will use for good. They have created the supply chain crisis through mismanagement in so many ways, and we'll get to Mr. Pete Buttigieg in a minute. But they've created it. But because when you have Joe, no brains, I'm your left-wing puppet, Biden, get out there and say any employer with 100 employees or more, they have to be vaccinated. I'm giving an order. Order. Well, it's not an executive order coming from Joe. It's an executive order. It stinks. It's an executive order. Joe, wash, like with the blood of Jesus, maybe. Come clean, man. Get saved. But the fact of the matter is, they're pushing the vaccination as the cause of the problem. And they're claiming these people that aren't getting vaccinated. Well, the fact is, they have created the port crisis by institutionalizing governmental terror through the mandate. And people aren't falling for it. Because they aren't falling for it, now we got a shortage of truck drivers and this and that. And so while the left thinks that they can bring this country to its knees through the mandate, the fact is that the mandate is failing, by and large, is causing all this disruptions that they try to place on the people for not getting the mandate. It's not getting the mandate that's the cause of the problem. It is the mandate. Or not getting the vaccination that's a cause. It's the mandate that's a cause. People aren't coming to work because they have COVID. They aren't coming to work because there's not a job for them if they didn't get the stupid shot. Yeah, that's the reason. Thanks, empty shelves, Joe. You did it for yourself. Now let's move on to the one who's really supposed to be spearheading the resolution here. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg. Sorry, I know my wife hates it when I call him that, but I'm sorry, it's... Well, I'm not sorry I say it. I'm just sorry I have to tell the truth. He makes me gag, if you know what queers do with each other's rear ends. Pretty bad. So this guy is faking paternity leave, right? He's busy. What? What is he doing with this child that they're adopting? You know, I'm sorry, I misspoke. I said he was on paternity leave. He's on sodomy leave. I misspoke. So we have this crisis going on since mid-August. He's not doing his job, and he's telling Tucker Carlson, well, you obviously don't know what it's about bottle feeding. You know what, Pete Buttigieg, you're the one, you're probably drinking from the nipple of your own of the bottle you got for the kid. Look, it's worse. It'd be better for a person to have a millstone tied around their neck and be cast into the sea than to lead one of these little ones astray. Pete, that's Jesus talking to you about the child that you're abusing just by bringing him into this relationship where you aren't doing jack except staying home and committing sodomy for 2 months when you're the head person on the job and you're not doing diddly squat about this other than having a great sodomy old time. Gosh, you know, anyway, so you got in Italy, they have the vax to work policy, right? You don't get to go back to work unless you get the jab. That's similar to the threat from the Biden administration. And that's what it is a threat. I want to see companies start forming, and I think they will, where it's illegal, they will not hire you if you have been vaccinated. And start up with all of these great people who no longer have a job because they had to exercise their conscience over a paycheck. Now, you may think I'm denigrating those of you who've had this shot. Maybe I get a little carried away, and I apologize for that. I know good people have gotten it. However, this is a fact. Who are the people who are leaving the companies? I will tell you, the best people. The best people have the most experience. The best people who have the know-how on the job. The best people who have a resume and qualifications that will get them work elsewhere before the others who aren't good enough employees to get a job anywhere else. Not the case 100% of the time. But there is no question. I have talked to people in the aerospace industry. I don't care whether it's aerospace, whether it's teaching, whether it's medical. It's your finest doctors, your finest nurses, some of your very best professors, from your best engineers that have options. They can go out and start businesses on their own. They're good. They're smart. And they're saying, I'm getting the heck out of here. So if 85% of the workforce takes a jab and 15% doesn't and they get fired, the workforce is less than 85% of what it used to be. Because a disproportionate number of those who are staying have no choice because they're less qualified, poor employees. I'm not saying they're bad employees. They just don't have going for them what some of them that are just getting up and leaving got. They can't go out and start up a business. They don't have the financial wherewithal. Maybe they don't have the education or the experience. Maybe they just aren't that good at what they do or as good as others. But it's a fact. The better or best people are the ones that are leaving. So the UK is now begging their lorry drivers. Now, a lorry is a truck. An English truck is kind of like that. I think it's a pug. They got that flat-nosed front, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong. Let me know, robinwaltershow@gmail.com. Let me know what I think that's what a lorry is. They're begging the lorry drivers to return to work, and they're even now luring, I guess this is called lorry luring. You know, I think I know lorry luring. I think I dated her in high school. No, but these are lorry drivers being lured that are not Englishmen or English women. They're foreigners. They're trying to attract foreign drivers with temporary visas as the country considers what's to do about its empty shelves issues. Now, here's what I find interesting. Whether it's the Afghanis that we've trucked in by the tens of thousands, whether it's the hundreds of thousands streaming across the southern border with COVID that nobody is requiring to be vaccinated, what this country is doing is it's firing its citizens who will not take the jab and hiring kind of the scab labor who's not required to get the jab. So why would you require your citizens to be vaccinated and your aliens, legal or otherwise, to not be vaccinated in order to work? Is the left that stupid? Yeah, some of them are. The real answer is they're just that evil. That's how much they hate this country. That's how much they want to bring this country to its knees, drive it and submit it into being, force it into submission to being a socialist country because everything is so wrecked that there's no pulling out of it without a complete government takeover. That's what the left wants. It's why that certain states need to get the heck out of here. ASAP. Well, believe it or not, I'm actually not done with the good news. Yeah, he said, gosh, I don't know if I could take any more of this good news. But I want to get to why the ship stacked up at the harbor and the bare cupboards may well be a really good thing. Well, the obvious one, which I've kind of already addressed, is it's difficult to shift this to the unvaccinated. I mean, maybe the media does it, but how stupid and dumb does the media think that the great number of people are? It's Joe Biden. Joe Biden sucks. His approval rating is at 36%. Oh, my gosh. I mean, has there ever been a president in the time of taking polls that has been as low as Joe, no brains, I'm your left-wing puppet, Biden? I don't think so. So the container situation only aggravates this administration. Perspective in the eyes of the people. The migrant situation and the illegals only lowers the image of this president in the eyes of a number of people. Go right on down the line. Joe Biden raced to the bottom. He raced to the bottom of the pack, if you will, as the worst president in U.S. history, and he did it in record time. Congratulations, Joe. Now, that's reason number one, but it's not really the main reason for my picking this piece. That is because when the ships are stacked up and the cupboards are bare and we no longer can stock our shelves with cheap China crap, guess what? Americans need to start businesses to fill the hole and the gap led by the absence of cheap China crap coming ashore. Let all those ships coming from China just sit out there for the next 6 months. I don't give a rat's rear end. I really don't. Keep those Chinese tchotchkes out of this country. And anybody listening to me that says, gosh, you know what? We don't have enough whatever. Pick it. And then go make it. Start it up. Hire the truck drivers who won't take the jab. Have the only unjabbed company. And well, here's your slogan. Get a jab, don't get a job. No, if you got a job, if you got a jab, you don't get a job. I didn't say that very well. Somebody can say that better. Make that the slogan. Now you'll have people denying that they are vaccinated to get decent jobs, to fill in all of the shelves of junk coming from China that now could be made in the USA again. You see, interestingly, this whole quagmire could fulfill Donald Trump's claim of making America great again, at least from a manufacturing standpoint. He's wanted to bring manufacturing jobs back. Well, you know what you can do in place of bringing manufacturing jobs back? Just keep the China crap out. And then we don't have to bring the manufacturing jobs back. We just start manufacturing jobs here. At least that's going to be part of my political campaign if I run for office. Still wondering about that. Well, Joey Biden, you're just the perfect storm, man. And the sooner and more you screw up, the quicker we can get to a replacement. Robin Walter with the Robin Walter Show. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter is a listener-supported program. Please know that 100% of your contribution goes to pay for airtime so that as many people as possible are able to hear that the Word of God has answers to every meaningful problem and issue in life. No one gets paid a salary at Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter, but in response to your support, we pledge to bring you the most timely and critical information you need to help make informed decisions in this age of media bias and a growing hostility to all things Christian. Your partnership makes you one of the watchmen on the wall with us, as described in the book of Ezekiel. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
Take this job and shove it. ain't working here no more. A woman done left and took all the reason I was working for. You better not try to stand in my way as I'm walking out the door. Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more.
We're back. This is Robin Walter with the Robin Walter Show. Okay. Colin Powell. I only bring this up because of the incredible, unbelievable, over-the-top hypocrisy of the left. So Colin Powell is fully vaxxed, right? He catches COVID fully vaxxed. He dies fully vaxxed. There's a lot of these folks. There are a lot of people that are dying that are fully vaxxed. But now the left, in an effort to downplay the lack of vaccine effectiveness, you can catch it, you can transmit it, you can die from it. So now they start to play, well, these are comorbidities. He's got all these other things. He had cancer, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know what? We didn't hear about one single stinking comorbidity back when they wanted to rack up as many COVID deaths as possible. It was never blamed on the comorbidities. Somebody had pneumonia, and then they got COVID, died of COVID. Somebody had COVID, got pneumonia, died of COVID. The one guy in Montana died in a motorcycle crash. They said he died of COVID. Go right on down the line. So they downplay the lack of vaccine effectiveness, play up the comorbidity, and that's what's haunting them. They're just trying to have whatever way they possibly can, but it's an incredible hypocrisy that we got all these gazillion COVID deaths, no flu deaths in 2020, only COVID deaths, which a huge number of them were comorbidity situations. They state that of the deaths that were labeled as COVID deaths, the ones that are pure, unadulterated, true, exclusively COVID deaths, amount to 6% of all deaths from what was called a COVID death, labeled a COVID death. 6%. That's it. 94% had comorbidities, but they wouldn't talk about those because it didn't suit the narrative. They wanted the maximum number. But now that people are croaking from COVID who are fully vaccinated, now they're playing up the comorbidity side of it in an effort to show you that the vaccine is still really great. It's still really effective. So here's a question that I have about Colin Powell. My question is, Colin, and I'm not blaming him, I'm just asking this question rhetorically, how many people did Colin Powell kill by transmitting COVID on the belief that he was fully vaccinated and was protected and safe and could now go and mingle with the population at large? You see, the problem these days are not the unvaccinated. They don't give it to anybody. They don't have it. If they get it, they get it. The ones who are passing it on are the vaccinated people. The ones who are the 2021 asymptomatic super spreaders. If it's doing what people, the medical profession says that it's really supposed to be doing, and it isn't, this is another ringer that they've got their tush caught in. If it's really doing what they say they're doing and cutting down on symptoms, deaths, hospitalizations, cutting way down on the symptoms, and that means people who actually have COVID, have the vaccination, catch COVID, who have no symptoms, think they're safe and they're going around thinking they're safe and they're giving people COVID and they're transmitting. You see, the people who didn't mask in 2021 were the unvaccinated super spreaders who that were asymptomatic. But now the super spreaders are the asymptomatic vaccinated people. If you're vaccinated, you may be a super spreader. Well, I have a little more good news. Gosh, I got so much good news. You may not recognize it as good news, but this is a deal. Santa got fired by Nordstrom. I forgot what town this was. They fired Santa because he did not take the jab. Said, you want the job? Got to get the jab. Well, I decided to do a bit of an analysis of Santa. And here's what I've come up with. Santa has some comorbidities. Well, that isn't going to help him anyway. Because jab or no jab, when he gets COVID, the comorbidities are going to knock him out and he can join Colin Powell. And here's Santa's problems. Number one, Santa is severely overweight. Right? Problem number one. Number two, everyone lays out cookies for this guy, so he's having too much sugar in his diet, which is a detriment to Santa's immune system. Too much sugar. Number three, the excess of Santa in Santa's diet, as reflected by overweight and everybody's leaving him cookies, is that he's now diabetic. Four, the existence of the extreme obesity is reflective of the fact that Santa does not get enough exercise because the elves and the reindeer apparently are doing all the work. Number five, he's got this big honking beard, and if you're into masks, you can't get a good fit with a big honking beard. There's just too many air gaps and spaces. So Santa, yeah, that's a problem. And because he lives at the North Pole, he doesn't get enough sunshine, which means there's no doubt a vitamin D deficiency, which has now been proven to be critical in fighting off COVID, as well as all kinds of viruses. He's not practicing social distancing with a reindeer. They're not really vaxxed, right? No, that's right, because the reindeer can get ivermectin, but Santa can't. But there's a solution. I got a solution here for Santa, and here it is. My 8-point solution, Santa. Number one, lose weight. Number two, improve your diet. Number three, get exercise. Number four, supplement your diet with vitamin D. Number five, shave the beard so you get a cleaner fit for your mask. Six, sell your reindeer. Seven, order all your gifts delivered through Costco. And eight, move to Florida, register as a Republican, and vote for your very close kin, Ron DeSantis Claus. There you go. I think we got it solved. The Christmas problem is solved. We don't have to worry about no gifts and empty shelves because maybe we're going to have a healthier Santa, right? Well, I don't know. Well, okay. I knew we'd have to run out of the good news eventually. But we're back to a COVID story. A recent study shows that 8 out of 10 women that have gotten a COVID shot before the third trimester are miscarrying. Well, I want to tell you, we do have a miscarriage. It's called a miscarriage of justice with everything coming down from this administration. Now, I can't fully vet this, or it is a preliminary study. I'm not going to go any further than that, but none of it surprises me because we have the increasingly supported study that the ovarian cancer among women is up 11,000%. Well, that is pretty bad, right? Well, yes, it is. But I need to get to something I promised you last week because I don't want to shove it off to next week because I got too big of a program planned. I don't like Amazon. Somehow I ordered once something and I ended up with Amazon Prime. I canceled it right away. I don't want it. As far as I'm concerned, this company is just a pile of ooze that's just infecting America as they take over the world. not, to me, it's not Amazon Prime. It's Amazon Slime. Well, we got their 2021 fashion gift guide in the mail because apparently once in a pinch I ordered something from them. And on occasion, I will when I have no choice. I got to have something and I can't get it through another source. But without question of the big three retailers, Walmart, Costco, and Amazon, I'm all over Costco, number one. A distant second is Walmart, and not in the race anymore is Amazon. So they have this catalog called Holiday Style Heroes. Well, let's just make the word heroes a totally worthless word, stripped, bereft of its original meaning, because we all want to be heroes. Well, for all heroes, heroes doesn't mean anything. Hero is somebody who does something brave, dangerous, beyond their call of duty, typically, not always, but something for which they're not being paid. But if they're being paid, it's still beyond their call of duty. You are not a hero because you dare to come out with a certain fashion. But I want to tell you, if I were black, and given all my Motown records, sometimes I feel like I am. I was voted best dancer, I'll let you know that, in high school. It was... my best moves came having to use the bathroom, but that's another story. Anyway, this catalog, if I were black, I would be so offended at the holiday style heroes catalog. Now, I don't have any problem with blacks or Hispanics or in this case Asians being the predominant models in this catalog. I think I would be ticked off, though, seeing the patently paternalistic attempt to curry favor with ethnic minorities. I mean, I'm not going to get into just how incredibly overweight some of these people are. They're not exclusively overweight blacks. There's overweight Hawaiians. There's overweight Indians. I can't say that they're really to speak of any overweight whites because they're pretty much excluded from the catalog. But it's so blatant in their patronizing thing. And then what do they finish it off in this catalog? Two queer black guys with their kids supposedly smiling. Everybody's having a, quote, gay, end quote, old time. Three pages of queer black guys doing modeling. This is not... Now, some of this may be because, well, all right, minorities have been underrepresented in modeling. That's true. Absolutely agree with that's true. I don't know if you solve it by overdoing it, by having somebody who's 12% of the population be 50%, but I don't care about that, really. I don't. What bothers me is the fact that there is no question about these two facts, Latinos and blacks, when it comes to gender and gender identity, are more biblically based than whites. That is a fact. Latinos and blacks have a better understanding and grasp of how, it doesn't mean they're all doing everything right, but they are not into queer identities. There are a ton of fatherless households, mostly in the black community, not in the Latino. I mean, the fatherless rate is ridiculous. 22% of black households had no father in 1968. Now it's 73%. Go listen to Candace Owens. She'll give you a piece of her mind about that. The destruction of the black community with the destruction of the black family by making it profitable for fathers to not stay around. Having said all that, they are not given into queerdom, nor are the Mexicans or Hispanics to the degree that whites yield to this politically correct idea that somehow God just blesses sodomy. And what they have done in this catalog, to me, is an absolute disgrace in an apparent attempt to maybe increase the representation of certain groups. But frankly, it seems like it is a very paternalistic but evil attempt to swing blacks more into the acceptance of homosexuality, queer marriage, gender identity, trannyism, and all of that stuff. Okay, well, I'm going to finish with a piece here that is going to lead into next week's program, which is going to be From the Bible to Braveheart. It's the title of next week's program. But I'm going to give you a little bit of an introduction here, which I find very interesting in the sense that it deals with one of my heroes from last century, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Okay, he's a German theologian. He's the real deal. He's a Christian. He's caught in a country that is bent on evil. And he is an encourager of churches to stand true, stand tall, and don't bow for the Hitler line and lies. Ill Führer Sicherheit, it's for your health in German. Don't fall for that garbage. And he becomes increasingly vexed, and that is the word, by the situation of what is the role of the church. He knows his role. He's not going to buy into that crapola. He's not going to do what God prohibits. And he is not going to be prevented from doing that which the government prohibits. All right? He knows when he has to disobey. But the question is, what should the church be doing? How much does the church stand up? How much does the church help others, even including those who are not Christians, most notably in this case, Jews, because that was the issue that brought this vexation to him. And then, what role is the church in opposing the government? What role does a church play in that? Well, I'm going to quote from, and I think that this is Eric Metaxas who wrote this, and I'm sorry if it isn't. Whoever wrote this, I apologize. I will get the right author next week. But I want to read something here that I think is just enlightening. It says that Bonhoeffer famously enumerated three possible ways in which the church can act towards the state. The first, he says, is for the church to question the state regarding its actions and their legitimacy. In other words, to help the state be the state as God has ordained. Okay, so now I'm talking here. I'm not quoting anything. So if you go to Romans 13, you'll read that the government, the offices that are there are ordained by God, and the people that are in place are there to carry out the instruction of God. They don't bear the sword in vain. It says, if you do well, you have no fear, but fear them who have the authority and bear the sword if you do evil. They're there to carry out the law to ensure that there's civil obedience according to that which is lawful, and to condemn and deal with that which is unlawful, which is according to God's word. He goes on to say the righteous have no fear under a good and proper government. The righteous have no fear. So, what happens then, and we're going to touch on this next week, when the government is not righteous? The government is actually punishing that which is righteous and carrying out that which is evil. In other words, it's exactly the flip side of what it's ordained to be. This is why Bonhoeffer could state that the church is there to help the state be what the state ought to be, which means according to God's word. If the church has no biblical influence on the government, the church has lost its salt. It's lost its savor. It becomes useless and good for being thrown out and trodden down. And you say, well, you're not supposed to mix up church and state. Folks, you cannot separate church and state. The problem with the conflation of church and state that led to the First Amendment was because it was an institutional body that became the state. The Church of England has no business being the part of the government. It's a whole different matter. To what extent should the church, i.e. the body of Christ, influence government? The separation that Jefferson talked about in his letter to the Danbury Baptists had nothing to do with people of faith influencing the government. It had everything to do with the government staying out of the business of the church. In fact, when the Constitution was passed, six or seven colonies had state churches. Well, they expanded the impact of the Constitution through various amendments and so forth. And I understand that. There should not be a church that is the official church of the state, and it's the church that runs the government in that sense. But to say that the church should stay out of politics and not help the state be the godly institution it's supposed to be makes a mockery of Romans 13. Bonhoeffer didn't say that. That's just kind of what I'm adding and interpreting from what it is that he said. But second of all is the question is how much should the church now help others? See, we talk about, well, okay, I won't take the jab, or I'll take the jab, or I won't take the jab, I'll do this, I won't do that, the other government can't make me do this. But to what extent should the church be helping others? And Bonhoeffer's question arose in the context of, you know, should we be helping the Jews? They're not Christians. Well, he went to Galatians, where it says, do good to all men. He just concluded, well, that's our responsibility, to do good to all men, and that includes all men, believers not and non-believers, but do good. The church should be standing up as the body of Christ, spoken, of course, through our representatives, so there's some degree of institutional representation, calling out the government for having departed so drastically from the biblical ideal that it makes what's-her-name Governor Hochul be the entire hypocrite, embarrassment, and antichrist that she really is, for quoting, misquoting the Bible and calling herself the one who has apostles, and that we're disappointing God by not taking the jab. He goes on to say, though, that there's a third way that the church can act toward the state, and that is to not just be the bandage for victims that have been ground under the wheel of the state, but to also put a spoke in the wheel itself. So he's saying, all right, so the church, as the body of Christ, has a role to help others. Help others that are being ground down, whether those are people who are being threatened with the loss of their job, whether they're believers or non-believers, who cares? We want to help those people. Because they're trying to do what's right. They're being ground down under the wheel of an imposing, traitorous, anti-constitutional, un-Christian government. We have an obligation to help those people. And I'm trying to do that. I'm trying to help people with exemptions, whether they're Christians or not. I don't care if they lie on the religious exemption. I don't care. I want to help them do what's right, in this case, is not take the jab. But he goes on to say that we must also place a stick into the wheel and jam the spokes to stop the vehicle. In other words, now we're talking lawsuits. We're talking protests. We're talking secession. We're talking about the state getting involved to stop this ugly, nasty, demonically inspired machine called Joe Biden's administration and all the left-wing policy wonks that are pulling the strings. We have a job to do. You say, well, that's not our job. Well, wait a second. John the Baptist called out Herod, right, for marrying his brother Philip's wife, Herodias. But if you look in the book of Luke, it doesn't just limit it to that. It says that John spoke publicly, addressed the government, speaking, guess what? Truth to power. Where have you heard that from? I don't know if we got any feminists listening to this program, but there you go. John spoke truth to power by calling out Herod for all his evils. John, the church, was the conscience of the state. Herod couldn't handle it. He couldn't take it. Herodias, who got terribly convicted, wanted him on ice, got his head removed. John paid the price. And so did Jesus condemn John for that? Because he was a spoke in the wheel, or at least was attempting to be, by calling out Herod for all the evils he was doing that are unbiblical, just what the church should be doing from the pulpit? No, not our Jesus, he said. No greater prophet than John the Baptist. What a commendation. What an approval. Sit tall in the saddle, America. You ride for the brand of Jesus Christ.